Well, of whatever little I can understand and I'm capable of, I'll certainly try to explain, and if I don't know, I'll tell you that I don't know the answer. Please. Well, I didn't want to prolong this talk too much and bore you. But if you are interested to listen to the whole thing, I'll certainly tell you. Well, as you know that I had not even heard of Meher Baba till about 10 years ago. I would say, well, 12 years ago. It so happened that my parents, I come from a very humble family, and my parents were very upright. My father died, but one thing that was there, he taught me as a child, and like everybody else, that is to always sing hymns in praise of the Lord in the morning, before he ever had anything in his mouth, not even little water, you see. And every day he did that throughout his life till the end. He was a doctor, and he worked to see at 7 o'clock, and therefore he used to get up very early in the morning by 5 o'clock, did the puja, the worship at the altar in the house, and did the readings of the Bhagavad Gita and other religious scriptures, and was ready after his breakfast and everything else by 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock to go into surgery. So, I mean, as we were born, see, in a house of this type, we had some ideas. And whatever my grandmother, see, I heard from her while I was, I mean, sleeping on her laps. I heard many things, and I still remember the various hymns, you see, that she was singing. And some of them I repeat myself, you see, from childhood, whenever I get an opportunity. So perhaps, according to Baba, whether you see him or not, whether you are in his company or not, whether you talk about Baba or Jesus or Ram or Krishna or Buddha, we are still talking about Baba. Because this Baba, as you know, he was the same Buddha, he was the same Christ, he was the same Ram, he was the same Krishna, he was the same Zoroaster. So he has been an avatar from time to time, coming amongst us under different garbs, under different names, in different forms, in different lands, to convey to us and make us realize the one unity, namely the Godhood in him, and has manifested to us through the miracles that have happened from time to time in those periods of time, his Godhood. So when I came to Baba, I had not heard his name. But so happens that I had my part of my education in Pune, which is the birthplace of Baba. I also happened to attend the college which Baba had attended. I mean, it just shows the coincidence that the samskaras have been sort of, I mean, spreading around, or he has been trying to, I should say, catch me in his snare, so to say. So it so happened that one day a friend of his, who I now know as one of the Baba lovers, came to me at night. I had my dinner and was just resting for a while, reading something, I do not remember. He came, "Well, doctor, you see, there is a case here. We would like you to come for a visit." Well, that was Thursday. I read this letter. It was a 4 or 5 page letter containing all the beautiful description about the patient. It appeared to me that it must have been written by an experienced doctor. And later I learned that it was written by nobody else but the Dr. Donkin, who is still living with Baba and has been with him for over 40 years. So I read the letter and I told them that I do not know, because next week I got surgery and I've got no time, and I cannot tell you just now. So I asked them to come back after 2 days. In the meantime, I studied the whole history and the case, and I made up my own diagnosis. So when they came on Saturday to see me, I told them, "See, look here, this patient's case is rather serious, in the sense that it requires so many instruments and other gadgets to be taken away. And if he is far away, it will be much better that the patient be brought here than my going to the patient." Immediately they told me, "Well, the patient cannot be moved. He will won't come to Bombay. It is for you to go there." So there, I agreed, you see, and we decided to leave on Sunday morning next day, on one condition, that I would be back in Bombay that before midnight so that I could attend to my work on Monday morning. And we went to Pune in the morning. I had taken all my instruments and certain gadgets, injections and some drugs, which I thought would be necessary considering the case of this patient, some patient that is. So there we left and we came to Pune. These people never told me where we were going and what was happening. We just drove and we came to Pune. I said, well, what are you doing here? Well, no, this is not yet. We have got to go somewhere else. But we are going to halt here for half an hour to have a breakfast. So we had breakfast at the railway station. And then Mayorji, whom some of you must have met and have heard, joined us. So there were six in the car. And we went along to another road. This is the first time I went on the Ahmednagar road to Mehrazad. I've been in Bombay, in Pune, and roundabout so many times, but I never had any occasion, you see, to go on the road to Ahmednagar. So there I was on the road, and I said, no, probably we are reaching Ahmednagar. And we came to Ahmednagar, and there we meet Adi Irani, and he says, well, why don't you have something, lunch and so on? I said, look here, I'm not interested in the lunch. My mind is to go back to Bombay by evening because we are far away from Bombay. We had already done about 240 miles by then. And to drive back again in the evening is going to be rather difficult, and I don't want to drive at night, so I must reach, if possible, before sunset. So there it was, and we went exactly from there at about 12:30, because we drove about 9-10 miles and went to Mehrazad. And I said, what is this funny thing? We break off the road, go, you see, in a field with no road at all, and then suddenly come across a small gate, and inside two small cottages. That's all there is. I said, where have these people brought me here? Before long, you see, I just enter the room and there I find Baba sitting there. Well, I cannot describe what happened because suddenly I had a rude shock. For one thing, he was in extreme pain. There were multiple ulcers on his face, inside his ear, on the tongue, on the lips. And I learned that beloved Baba had not had a morsel of food for more than 3 weeks because of the intense pain that he was suffering. So naturally, I tried to talk to him and I find, you see, Baba doesn't talk. I said, oh God, you see, what have I come to, you see? Am I wet? I said to myself in my own mind. Here's a patient who cannot talk and I have to make up my mind. And I tried to examine him. He was extremely gentle and cooperative. And in spite of his intense pain, he gave a very benevolent smile. I said, I am up against some patient. That was one thing that went through my mind. So quickly examined him and I thought, you see, I had made a correct diagnosis. Immediately Dr. Donkin and Dr. Guhar came to me and they said, why don't you come and let us talk in the next room. So in the next room we went there, and what did they show me? They show me references of various books on anatomy, on the diagnosis, on pathology, on the treatment, about 6 or 8 books opened up with references laid out on the table for me to read, and they were ready to just throw questions at me about my diagnosis, about my findings, and what I was going to do about it. I said, I am going through an examination now. And surely I did, you see, for the next 10 minutes. They asked me various questions. They asked me the course of the nerve, what I was going to do, where I was going to block the nerve with alcohol, and so on and so forth. So I told them that this is a case of a difficult type of syndrome known as Ramsay-Hunt's neuralgia, where you get 2 nerves of the face are affected, the 7th and the 5th, as a result of which he had excruciating pain both in the facial distribution and also in the ear. But I thought the ear pain was not so bad because Baba was not able to eat, and the sores on the face, on the tongue, on the inside of the cheek, on the hard palate were very, very painful indeed. One could see actual sores and he was bleeding from some of them. So I thought the only way to do it is to give an injection and block the nerve of the face, by which at least the pain in all over the face, including inside of the mouth and of the tongue, will stop immediately if I succeed in blocking this nerve and Baba will be able to eat something immediately. Well, I do not know what happened to me because I had no other thought in my mind because I had forgotten Bombay, I had forgotten Ahmednagar, I had forgotten everything else. In fact, I had forgotten myself. And I just told Baba that I have decided to give you an injection of alcohol into one nerve. Go ahead, why are you waiting, you see? Dr. Donkin looked at me, Dr. Goel looked at me. They were rather worried, but Baba says, go ahead. So I had taken with me my electrical stimulator to know that I am in the nerve, that when you touch with the electric current, the patient gets typical facial pain. Ordinarily, it takes 20 minutes or 25 minutes to make a successful injection for an experienced surgeon. I have also seen very experienced surgeon, including my teachers from who I learned, taking 1.5 to 2 hours fiddling about trying to get the nerve. So I knew that in a place like Mehrazad, with the 2 cottages, with what little equipment that I had, this was going to be a very, very difficult proposition. But that thought didn't come to my mind at all. I said, I'm going to hit this nerve and Baba is going to be all right. That's all that thought came to my mind. And believe me that this was the quickest injection that I have ever done in my life. I must have given over 700 to 800 injections by now. But I just put the needle inside and within half a minute, I put the needle about 4 to 5 centimeters inside from a given point. And Baba just winced. I stimulated, the same pain came. Baba says, yes. I injected alcohol and Baba all smiles within a minute. And he says, I'm hungry, give me some food. And immediately they brought a huge plate full of Indian pilau containing meat. And I have never seen a hungry man eating and gobbling that plate of pilau, you see, in the way he did. I thought this man has not seen food in his whole life, you see. In less than a couple of minutes, practically the whole of the plate was completely empty. But then, as you know, Baba is not so selfish, you know. The last morsel he kept it, he says, open your mouth, and he put that thing in my mouth. Which I gobbled, you see, very quickly. And there was all smiles, and then he put his hand on his stomach, as if he was very satisfied, asked for some water, and had 2 glasses of water. I was myself surprised to see what I had done. Well, actually he had cured himself, if you believe me, you see. I had become at that time nothing but completely a channel, entirely in his hands, without any thought of myself as a separate entity. Because I still do not know how I did it and what had happened. I have no knowledge even to this day. Because the needle just went in, within half a minute it was in the nerve, I injected alcohol, it was blocked, and the whole thing like a drama was finished in less than 5 minutes. And as soon as that was finished, I said, Baba, can I get back home? Then you see, the doctor, you see, in the human form, you see, that I was and I still am, started working, and immediately I was a different person altogether. In fact, it was like a stage, acting one part, you see, on the stage at that time, and quite a different part after once you get your exit from the stage. Well, then we came back, Baba made us sit there for some time. He laughed and so on, but he wouldn't talk. At that time, I did not even then know that he was Mehr Baba. I said, this is something very funny and queer. I do not know who that is. As we came back, see, to Adi Rani's place for our lunch after that, at 2 o'clock. Then when the talk came, so, oh, this is Mehr Baba, this and that and so on, I said, maybe anybody, I'm not interested. I had done my job. He's cured, his pains have been relieved, and go back. Well, as you know, as I was coming away, Adi Rani, you see, tried to put some money in my pocket. Says, well, doctor, you see, I mean, that's your fees, we had already made a bargain, we had made some settlement before leaving that I would be paid so much for this visit and so on. And they tried to put the fees. Well, I said, the least I could do is to not accept the fees, even if I did not cure Baba, you see. As I had done that, I said, look here, I can't accept that peace. Because as I told you, that was because of my samskara. As I was brought in a doctor's family of humble parents, you see, and like my father, to this day, I have not charged fees because 95% of my patients even to this day are free patients in the public hospital from whom I do not get a cent. And the 5% is the one from which I make a living. And even in those 5%, I have so far not charged any primary school teacher no matter to what religion or class he belongs. And I am not charged fees for any priest, maybe a Hindu priest, a Christian priest, or a Muslim priest, or any priest. Now here is a man who is lying helplessly in the jungle, doing nothing, not talking, suffering intensely. What right have I got to see to ask any fees either from him or whosoever else pays for him? And I think, you see, that was the least that I could have done, you see, to say, express my gratitude for the audience that I received, you see, with His Majesty. So that was the beginning, you see, that it was. And since then, thereafter, pain has gone. And I did not see him for nearly 2.5 years. I had completely forgotten the whole incident. There was no letters, nothing at all. Are you tired? You tell me, because it's 9 o'clock. Then suddenly beloved Baba became restless, it seems. And then he says, one day I get one of his mandali, whom I had just met, coming there. He comes, and he comes with a letter and message from Baba saying that I'm not keeping well, Baba wants me to examine. And that was nobody else but Francis Brabazon. He comes to Bombay with pain in his neck and so on, and he says, Baba wants you to treat me. All right, I'll treat him. And I examined him. I got x-rays made. I gave him a collar. He was suffering from the same trouble from which Baba had been suffering. And everything was done. He stayed with Nariman for a couple of days because the collar and everything had to be made. In the meantime, he started feeling better. I gave him some medicines. Then he says, well, what about my fees? I said, look here, there is no question of any fees because you come from the same place. The old man has got no money and you have got none. So there are no fees, I'm sorry, he says. But then he says, then I want to leave you these things. And Brabazon left me a couple of books, you see, written by him, you see. Stay with God. And thereafter, one day Baba sends Kaka. And like that, would you believe that in the next 6 months, different mandali started coming in the form of patients. And thereafter a call comes to see that beloved Baba himself is not well and I should go and see him. Then I went to Pune at the time, Guru Prasad, and I saw him that Baba had the same thing, you see, as a result of his accidents. He had his cervical spondylosis and I had to go there. And he says, well, he's not coming to Bombay for anything. The collar has to be made there in Guru Prasad. Nobody can go out and so on. And with great difficulty, we made a plaster of Paris cast of his neck, took that to Bombay, made a rough fitting of, from that collar, and next time brought that man again. And every week we went 3 times. At last the collar was fitted. Baba used it. For some time he says it's better, again not better. Sometimes he says he wants to see me again. In the meantime, the stay in Guru Prasad ended, and he went to Meerut. And then the trouble started. Baba used to be restless from time to time. And at one time, I had to go there every week. It was a routine affair. Every week to Meerut from Bombay, leaving early in the morning on Sunday and coming back about midnight, 11:30, 12 o'clock. I guess starting the operation next morning at 8 o'clock. It so happened that I want to relax at the weekend, I want to play a little game. I wanted to play golf and so on. And as you know, golf is played in singles or in foursomes, and you have got some friends. It happened once, it happened twice. And my friend said, well, it's all right. Then they said, look here, you are out of our foursome. We can't take you in because you are unreliable. You are just no good. I said, look here, by Thursday, message to come. Baba is all right. This week you don't have to come. So I used to fix up my foursome. Friday night, message, Baba wants you immediately, you see, on Sunday morning. So ultimately I had to give up this foursome and I stopped playing golf for nearly 2 or 3 months, you see, because I was only waiting that call may come. And like that, I went on nearly for 3 months. And there, you see, Baba, at one time, you see, suddenly said, well, why don't you stay here? And I stayed there for 2 days, 48 hours, when Baba was given continuous traction on a halter for 10 hours a day, continuously. And that was the first break when Baba felt quite a lot relieved of his pains. And then we gave the other treatments, and he is all right. And thereafter, I was called, you see, at one of the meetings, when Baba gave, you see, I mean, when the Westerners and others had come to meet him at Guru Prasad, and thereafter last year, when He showed me that he has no spondylosis, no weakness, he can walk faster than what I can do. I think I've taken a lot of your time, and I'm very thankful to you for the patient hearing that you all given me and listened to me. Thank you very much. Jai Baba. I think Mike, you can now.